You're listening to the Podcast Network. Listen, learn, evolve.
G'day world, it's Cameron. It's the 28th of January 2006. That makes it a Saturday. It's an overcast day in Melbourne. And I had a great chat this morning with a rock band from the United Kingdom called Planet of Women. Isn't that just the greatest name you've heard for a rock band in a long time? Now, I first heard of this band in November last year when they were the first track on TPN Rock number 32. And Ewan and I liked them so much that he organised for me to have a chat with them via their manager, David. Thank you, David, from Liquid Management. And so I spoke to them today. It was after midnight their time. There's three girls and three guys in the band. I'm only talking to the girls. They do the vocals, and Jade is one of the songwriters with Static, the guitar player. And so they're talking to me sitting around a mobile phone in the back of a tour van. So you'll get an understanding why the quality of their vocal coming in is a little bit harsh, but stick with it. I think most of it's very listenable. I've got some tracks in here from their off their website and off of podsafe.music.podshow.com, their Podsafe music that they've put out for podcasters. So we talk a little bit about the band, a little bit about their strategy, how they use the internet to communicate with their fans, and what it's like being three girls in a rock band, and what's happening with chick rock, and a whole bunch of stuff. They were a lot of fun. It was great chatting to them. So without any further ado, I give you the hardest working bunch of chicks in rock, Planet of Women! Yeah, yeah!
Drinking Yes, it is. Who's this?
This is Jade Planet Women. How you doing, mate?
I'm good, Jade. How are you doing?
I'm good. I've got Nina and Jolene with us here now. We're in our band wagon. What time is it over there, Cameron?
It's almost 12 midday. What time is it in Sheffield, England, girls?
Well, we're in Croydon tonight. What time is it?
It's just gone 12:30 at night. Just on midnight.
October. We did our gig in Sheffield last night and didn't get back into London until about 6:30 this morning. So we're in Croydon today and we're Croydon tonight, and then we're up in Birmingham tomorrow. So yeah.
Rock and roll lifestyle. Now, tell me what does the Planet of Women wagon look like? Is it decked out with purple velour?
Actually, it's pink and it's fluffy.
She's like, it's gold and fluffy.
It's not.
It's like a Durex packet.
All right, let me introduce who I'm talking to. So, for the people listening in who aren't in on the joke, I'm talking to the increasingly popular and successful and talked about rock band from the United Kingdom, the Planet of Women, which is not an all-girl rock band. There's a couple of blokes involved in the band, isn't there? Who are the blokes?
There's three of them, and they're on the drums, bass, and guitar. And I'm Jade, and Static, the guitarist. We write all the songs, and we've got two fantastic girls. Joan and Nina doing all the BBs and fantastic sort of dancing. So it's full on rock and roll, Cameron. It's cool. You guys would love it down under.
Well, I was going to ask you when you're coming down under, but before I get to that, tell me about the gig tonight. How did it go? How many people were there?
It was great. It's a really good gig. It's called The Cartoon. It's in Croydon, and it's quite a popular venue. You know, for sort of, well, it's very popular venue for rock. We had a good turnout tonight, didn't we, girls?
It was good, really good.
Were there a number of bands playing, or was it just you guys?
No, there was another band playing as well. In fact, one of the guys in the band, we've played with a few times before, he's in a band called Fishman Dan, which are a really good rock band. So it's nice to see them again. It's always nice to do these gigs because you tend to meet the same people on the circuit, and as you move up, it's really nice to gig with people that you know and get on with. You know, you can have a few drinks after the gig and
just a few.
Is the band named?
Some people more than others.
Is the band named after the ZZ Top song "Planet of Women"?
Yeah, absolutely.
From the Afterburner album, I seem to recall the same one that had Velcro Fly on it, which was kind of the end of ZZ Top, I think, that song, wasn't it?
Yeah, I think so. We were kind of
Planet of Women, when we first came up with the name, I have to say, none of us particularly were that enamoured with it at first. It was one of those names that we used it, but we didn't particularly like it. And then about 6 months later, we thought, well, let's try and think of a name that we really do like.
And we came up with some absolute crap name.
We actually couldn't think of a better name, and we realised that we'd become quite fond of the name Planet of Women over time.
Well, how it started, Cameron, was that this is Jade, by the way, how it kind of started, that was Nina you were just talking to, how it started was that, you know, Planet of Women, we just picked the name and sort of we trotted on, and we just kind of thought it was a little, you know, gave too much away straight away, you know, the name did. But it's
because we're women.
The guys do like to dress up in thigh length socks on the odd occasion. But you know, that's an entirely different story.
And we've made a few movies.
Surely.
We haven't made a few movies.
Cameron, don't listen to Jolene. She's
oh, garlic.
She's the ranting and raving one of the band. Well,
I'm actually a fan of Russ Meyer's films from the 60s and the 70s, and it reminds me of one of those. It sounds like Faster Pussycat Kill Kill or something like that. It brings to mind evocative images of very powerful, empowered women with extremely large breasts.
Oh, really? You messaged them. I think he's probably seen the website.
Yeah, Cameron, it takes 4 bras and 8 quarters to get our breasts to look like that.
Now, I have seen the website, and guys, you guys have got a great image, and I want to talk to you about the website. I'm interested in how you see the importance of the website and the internet in promoting the band and maintaining a relationship with your fan base. Do you see it in 2006, the 21st century, as being a critical component of being an up-and-coming band?
I think it's absolutely vital, Cameron, that you know, we have a website up and running. It keeps our fans up to date with the gigs we're doing. They get to see pictures of the gigs. If they haven't been able to make a gig, they get to see pictures of the gigs. You know, we get to stay in touch with people. We've also kind of got onto a site called MySpace, which has been absolutely incredible. And the lady that runs the website for us, she does an absolutely amazing job. And I mean, I don't know if you've really sort of trawled through the website, but it's
I have. Yeah.
You know, we're really lucky. Actually, I think that we're probably very, very lucky women. We've got 2 fantastic managers, and you know, great website. And it's imperative that you have that, because you know, it's your link to everybody out there. You know, and it really, really sort of you know, is a much faster, it's a fast track way to kind of communicate with people. You know, I mean, look at us now, talking to you.
Particularly sites like MySpace, you know, they're a real network for bands at the moment. I mean, I don't know whether it's the same in Australia, but certainly in the UK, anybody who's into bands is on MySpace, finding new bands. We had so many people come down to our gigs just because they've been onto our MySpace.
Yeah.
MySpace is massive over here. And I mean, there are bands like...
Have you heard of
the Arctic Monkeys, who basically launched their whole career from the internet, which... You know, it just shows how important the internet is, and it's certainly been brilliant for us.
In fact, I didn't even had a single out, did they, for MySpace, and then they had a single out.
Sorry, by the way, Cameron.
Hi.
It was Nina Paul.
Through MySpace, I think they gained such a massive following through MySpace that they released a single and actually got to number one in the UK, which obviously is a big thing, Cameron, to be honest. And now they've got an album coming out, which again is tend to be, you know, a massive album. So, and that's all through MySpace, which is obviously, you know, the internet, which is a big thing, and hopefully for us as well.
And I first heard of you guys through one of the podcasts on the podcast network, The Rock Show, that's hosted by you and Spence. And I think podcasts seem to be an exciting way for bands to get their music heard as well throughout the world. There's a number of indie podcasts like Ewan's that only play indie bands on their way up. And I, you know, it's so refreshing for me to tune into that show and hear real rock and roll that hasn't gone through 14 layers of accountants and lawyers before the album is finished. I wanted to ask you guys, though, about the sort of strategy from here. I mean, chick rock bands don't seem to be in the top 40, at least in Australia. It's more full of dolly girls dancing around. But I've always personally believed there's only a couple of things sexier than a girl rock band, and that's maybe a movie with a girl who's got a gun or a girl with a samurai sword. Outside of that...
Yeah. Or Angelina Jolie, yeah. Play, what was the film she was in?
Tomb Raider.
I'm sure you like that one.
Actually, I was thinking more like, you know, the chicks with assassins. Chicks who are assassins are always good. But female rock bands, there's nothing sexier, and yet they don't seem to be in vogue with the record labels at the moment. So what's your strategy going to be?
I think what it is, Cameron, is you know, because it's not prevalent, you know, in the general rule, you know, it's not something that is sort of happening all the time. You know, people are less willing to take a punt on, you know, a female sort of fronted rock band. And you know, I know from my point of view, you know, if I go and see, you know, females really giving it some welly, you know, really, really, you know, a proper performance, you know, proper rock and roll, I love to see it. I like to see, you know, great show as well as
you know, the music being good and the songs being good, and if you can package that all together and you're lucky enough to get somebody that comes along and is prepared to take, because even with a guy band, you know, everything is always a risk. If somebody's prepared to take that risk, you know, I mean you look at like some of these old bands like The Who and Led Zeppelin and, you know, The Stones, all of them were turned down, you know, by record labels in the start. You know, so it's not just necessarily a female thing, it's just something new kind of coming forward and somebody prepared to take a risk. So we're hoping that somebody will. You know?
Why does rock and roll seem to be dominated mostly by blokes, though? I mean, there's been a lot of girls over the last 30, 40, 50 years that have rocked hard and rocked well, and yet...
Can't sing the Jack Daniels, Cameron.
But if I do a list in my mind of, you know, the top 50 rock bands, I don't know how many female-fronted bands are in that. Why do you think that is?
Do you know what, Cameron? I think there's a massive niche in the market, because if you go back to what we used on the internet, we've really been in touch with MySpace. And it's obviously what the fans
really
want.
It's working for us, isn't it?
Yeah, I mean, you've got a lot of girls on there that are saying, oh my God, you know, you've got a girl rock band and it's fucking great. Sorry.
Oh,
absolutely.
Oh,
sorry.
Oh, bleep, bleep.
You know, it's great to actually see that out there at the moment, and there's not anything like that going on at the minute. But... you know, it's one of those things that, yeah, there is a niche in the market, and I think for us, and you know, hopefully we'll fill that.
Yeah, we don't really see it as, oh, it's a problem that there aren't many female rock bands out there. We see it as an opportunity, because we think that we could do it. And people seem to like our stuff, so hopefully, you know, we'll be the...
Well, we did a really fantastic interview one day with Bruce Dickinson from Iron Maiden, which was absolutely one of our little highlights, because we brought out Waking Up the Neighbourhood last year. I went to number 9 in the BBC rock charts, and I have to say that I was dancing on every surface in my house. I was so elated.
Her bed while I was sleeping.
I was talking about handstands and cartwheels that I hadn't done since I was 6. But we went on the Bruce Dickinson show, and, you know, we kind of went up a little kind of apprehensive, a little nervous, and I think that even he was a little apprehensive of, you know, where we're going to be, you know, any good, or, you know. And, you know, he was sort of spellbound, you know, the songs. And we just did an acoustic set for him.
The first band to do that.
Yeah, we were the first band to do the acoustic set for him in the BBC 6.
Mm, yeah.
And it was, you know, he was really enamoured. We've done the Download Festival, and we get asked quite a lot if... you know, if people haven't seen us or haven't heard, can we actually sing? Can the girls actually do their harmonies? And, you know, it's always there, on ready, you know, able to do it. There's nothing processed about what we do, you know.
Come on.
I watched a bit of video on your website from you guys doing a little bit of a cappella harmony backstage at the Download Festival, and it was...
Can I just tell you a little story about this, Cameron?
Yeah.
It was my birthday that week, right? and we were, it's quite a funny story. You've heard of the Cedar, haven't you?
Yes.
Yep. Well, we were working so hard all week, and we got to the Download Festival, and we were opening up on the Friday, and it was packed. The tent was packed. It was the most fantastic gig. We'd done Download 2 years on the track. It was a fantastic gig. Then we went off to the Kerrang tent to do an acoustic set, which was really also actually a highlight, and I'd said that, you know, I wasn't going to celebrate my birthday until Download. So after we did the acoustic set, we started having a couple of glasses of wine. So at the end, we started doing all our interviews and stuff, and that particular interview was probably about...
It was witnessed by the leader.
Yeah, it was probably about the eighth or ninth interview in this massive tent, and we were quite tiddly by this point. And if you actually know, if you meet us and you actually know us, if you look at our eyes, we're actually all quite fiddly.
So what Jay's trying to say, Cameron, is we don't look like that in real life.
We do.
Everyone there just singing away. And then in the end, somebody had to tap us on the shoulder and say, oh, sorry, we're trying to do an interview. Would you mind just quieting it down a little bit?
We didn't quiet it down. We carried on, and actually, which was actually really quite lovely, is the entire tent, even Feeder, all applauded at the end, which was really lovely. It was kind of, you know, like the people that kind of go around them and make sure everything is all right. They were actually stopping their interview to listen. So it was really lovely. It was quite special, because you know, it's the little things. As you're moving up the ladder, the little things that you keep appreciating, and you know, so yes, that was quite funny. We were here at that point.
I wanted to ask you a question about what inspires you to keep moving on. Now, I happened to catch, unfortunately, on television last night, the film Rockstar with Marky Mark Wahlberg.
I love that film.
Do you? I love it until he quits to go back to his girlfriend. I think, no, you pussy, what are you doing? You had everything. But there's this line in the movie about how what inspires him to keep going is all the pussy and all the sex. Is it the opposite for chick bands? Is it all about the dick? Is it all about the sex and drugs and rock and roll for a girl band, or is there a different motivation?
I'm Timothy, naughty boy. I'm gonna not let you digress and go down this avenue, Cameron, right?